Exodus 13, verses 1 to 16. I look again at these verses under the heading of the ordinances. The second discourse on this subject. As I've said, what we have here in these ordinances for the Passover and the annual remembrance of this deliverance, this perpetual remembrance of deliverance from Egypt, of God delivering the Hebrews, we have shadows, old covenant shadows, all pointing to the reality that will come with the coming of the Christ and the new covenant. So we look back upon these verses, as it were, as historical documents. The substance and the reality, though, is found in Christ. But there are further things that we can learn from these verses. What was the purpose of this perpetual annual reminder? What did God intend by these ordinances? Well, he spells it out here. In verse 3, the Hebrews had to commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. It was a time of commemoration, a time of remembrance. Psalm 103, verse 2, is a great principle with God. We must forget not all his benefits. And that runs through every covenant. That runs through every episode in our life, brother and sister. Let us remember. We must remember. Indeed, when we come to the new covenant and the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me. I'm not making a direct leap between these two matters, the Passover and the Supper. The Passover goes over to Christ. I'm just saying that the principle of remembrance, forgetfulness is a bad thing. Peter writes, he says, I want to say these things now to remind you, to teach you, to bring back to your memory. And he was thinking, not only of that time, surely, but of the time after his death. He wanted to say things that believers could remember. And that's a principle here. Commemoration, verse 3. But these ordinances were teaching, instructive ordinances. Verse 8. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. And then again in verse 14. In days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. That is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb, and redeem each of my firstborn sons. It will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand. So it's a teaching ordinance. Notice that the fathers have to teach their sons, not only in the day of the Passover, but with all the perpetual reminders of God throughout the year. Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8, is very rich in this. We should teach the coming generations about God's works and his mighty power that he has displayed in the past and in our own lives. Come and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. It's a teaching ordinance, teaching instruction, teaching ministry. It's a teaching commemoration. It's a perpetual reminder too. We've seen these verses, 9 to 10 and 16. The Hebrews must never forget what God has done. They not only commemorate it, they not only teach about it, they remind themselves of it. As I say, the Lord's Supper is a remembrance. And then there's perpetual praise to God. Look at the verses here. 1, 3, 5, 9, 11, 12, 14, 15, and 16. Look how many times the Lord is mentioned. The Lord did this. The Lord said that. The Lord overcame that. The Lord directed here. It's all praise to God. Not praise to Moses or the rod he carried or the Hebrews themselves. It's all praise to God. That was the great purpose. To bring worship and glory and honor to the name and person of God. Now, all that is Old Covenant, but there are principles here which come over for us in the New Covenant, brother and sister. But of course there are massive differences. Covenant theologians forget these differences. There is a contrast in these covenants. Indeed, the New Covenant has superseded the Old Covenant. Christ has fulfilled the Old Covenant and rendered it obsolete, so we are told plainly in the New Testament. And the New Covenant, we're told even in Jeremiah, and quoted again in Hebrews, will not be like the Old Covenant. And what are the differences? Well, let me just mention one or two. All this here in the Exodus, and the Passover, and the annual commemorations, and so on, is all external. It's all outward. Whereas in the New Covenant, it is internal. Indeed, there's only two aspects of the New Covenant, really, in a sense, that Christ set up, that you might call external in any way, the Lord's Supper and baptism. There are some visible signs there, tokens. But of course, it's all internal in the New Covenant. God writes his law inwardly for us, as well as in his word. He gives us a heart for it then, a love for it, a desire after Christ. All that is absent from the Old Covenant. And then again, it's a national thing. It's a family thing. Whereas in the New Covenant, that's the Old Covenant, in the New Covenant, is individual and personal. Take the children here. Covenant theologians move straight between these two covenants and jam them together, and children come straight through these two covenants in the same position. We must beware of making too much of children in the New Covenant, but we must beware of making too little of them. But we certainly won't go the covenant theologian way, will we? And apply Old Covenant principles to our children. We want to see them regenerate, born of God's Spirit. It's not because they belong to us. We can't get them into the covenant by sprinkling them with water. They can only be in covenant with Christ by regeneration and union to Christ by faith in him and repentance toward God. If there's any adult listening to me who thinks that something happened to them when they were sprinkled as a baby, think again. Have you been born again, my friend? Nothing to do with water and sprinkling and ministers and all the rest of it. Has God's Spirit given you a new heart? Have you got faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ? Repentance of sin? Do you want to obey Christ, love Christ, serve Christ? Do you take his word seriously? You love him and you obey his commands? Have you the marks of the Spirit upon you? Or have you just been sprinkled as a baby? If you're trusting in water sprinkling, and the fact that mum and dad were in the covenant, you might call it. Think again. Once in Christ, not in any external sprinkling covenant. Don't move from the old covenant to the new directly. In the new covenant, you must be born again. Well, it was the same in the old covenant. And some men and women were born again. But in general, the Hebrews were just an external people, nominally the people of God. Well, what can we learn from all this? Ignorance is a bad thing. Forgetting is a bad thing. Let us remember, let us know, let us understand what God has done. Because this is the way he gives God praise and worship and honor. It's for our good. It's the way God blesses us. Let us honor God for all he has done. Lord, help us to say, we will not forget all your benefits Psalm 103, verse 2. Praise the Lord. Serve the Lord. Worship the Lord. And forget not all his benefits. Remember the way he has led us. Remember what Christ has done for us. And may we exalt the name of the triune God for the glorious redemption we have in Jesus. If the Hebrews had to do this under the Old Covenant, how much more should we praise and honor the name of our God for all he has accomplished for us, brother and sister, for you, for me, in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit working in us. Let us praise the name of Father, Son, and Spirit, now and forever. Amen.